Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for being such a good God to us. And I pray now that you will speak through your servant and that the message will be a message that will reach to our hearts and that, Father, we will be willing to open and obey and live one day expecting to spend eternity with thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, in the late 90s, I was standing before a congregation as the youth leader of the church. And suddenly, I felt that the very ground I was standing on was moving. It was shifting from one side to the other. And the congregation began to, you know, panic. Some people were screaming. And this was one of the most strange experiences we had had, young people in that time. People start running through the doors trying to get out of the building. And there were adults there, elderly people. And I myself took off running, trying to get to that side door to get out of the building. I looked up to the ceiling. The building was, you know, the ceiling is very high. And I could see where the building was just shifting. And when we got outside, we noticed that there were one person who was still inside the building. And it was an older lady. I rushed back in the building. And we start to, you know, pull her out with another brother. We got her out the building. And everybody was like, what is going on? What is happening today? Well, one of the elders, an older elder, he turned around and he said, this is an earthquake. The earth is moving. And when you have an earthquake, this is what happens. We did not know what it was. We had never before experienced an earthquake. And this happened many times after, you know. We will still have some shaking, but it was not as bad as that first one. And I want to tell you that as Christians today facing the challenges that are present and the challenges that are still ahead of us, still coming, we're going to have to become experts in facing these type of shaking, spiritual shaking that is coming upon the earth. A spiritual earthquake is coming. And God will bring his church through this spiritual earthquake or spiritual shaking that is coming upon this earth. And as a people, if you go with me to the book of Amos, I want you to open your Bible. And there is a good news there. I find it very hopeful for us today. And it is Amos 9 verse 9. Amos chapter 9 verse 9. Listen what the Lord says. For surely I will command and will sift the house of Israel among all nations, as grain is sifted in a sieve, yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. This is good news, right? This is good news for God's church, because you know what? God's church is being represented here as Israel. And this church, this spiritual Israel, is going to be shaken. And what God is saying here, I'm going to sift the house of Israel among all the nations. But the good thing that I find in the very last part of the verse, it says, yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. The smallest grain shall not fall. That's good news. You know, we are going to have a time where God is going to separate, or we will see a separation between the righteous and the wicked just before Jesus comes. And I want you to go with me now to the book of Matthew. Bear in mind that God's grain is not going to be sifted out. It's going to stand forever. Okay? Until we go to heaven and spend eternity with Jesus Christ. But listen, in Matthew chapter 13, and we are going to take verse 24. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24, and we will read something very important here for us as God's people. Matthew chapter 13, and go with me to verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Verse 26. "But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared." Verse 27. "So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' Verse 28. He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' Verse 29. But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them.' Verse 30. "Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Now the question I want to ask you all, who is going to separate the wheat from the tares? Who's going to do the separation? God himself, right? It's not us who's supposed to do that. But the thing is this, there is going to be a separation that is going to take place before Jesus comes. A separation before Jesus comes of what is wheat and tares. And we may wonder, we have heard this message from ever since, that the time is going to come and Christ is going to make the separation. But the question that I would like us to ask ourselves, are we wheat or are we tares? Who are we in this family of God? Who are we? Where are we standing? Now go to verse 47. Verse 47, and we're going to take to verse 50. And again it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be," what? "Wailing and gnashing of teeth." There is going to be a separation. You know, the devil himself is the one who has sowed the tares. He has brought, you know, all the evil that exists in the world, even the evil that he can bring inside of the church. The devil is the author of this. It's not God's work. God has planted, he has sowed the wheat, but the enemy has been doing the work of sowing tears. Now, in all churches of the world, if you go around every single church in this world today, you are going to find two groups, okay? Two groups are going to be there. You are going to find a group who is obedient, who is ready to obey the word of God, and then you are going to find a group who will turn their back to God, disobedient. And it's the same thing in the world. If we take the world in a whole, you find a group that is obedient and a group that is disobedient. You have the wheat, you have the tares. Now, you know, Christians are considered, those who are loyal, who are willing to obey the Lord, are considered to be the wheat. Those who are disobedient are considered to be the tares. In Spanish, we say the trigo and the cizaña, you know. But this is something that when Christ stated it here in Matthew, he was speaking to his people back then, and he's still speaking to us today. He wants us to understand and get that very clear in our minds that there must be a distinction between those who are for Christ and those who are against him. You know, in their growing, have you noticed the wheat and the tares? Those of you who are farmers, you can explain that even better than I do. But you see the wheat and the tares as they spring up, you can hardly tell the difference. You can hardly tell which is the wheat and which is the tear. But you have to wait until it grows, it gets older. And I see this happen every spring when, you know, the grass starts to spring up and everything is turning green again. You can hardly tell where is the good grass and where is the bad one, right? And I will get out there in the yard and I will try to pull up the ones that are not good. But I have to wait until they reach to a certain size to identify which is the good grass and which is the bad one. Now, it's the same with the wheat and the tares. They will grow together. And we may not be able to tell which one is for Christ or which one is for the enemy. But the Lord advises us to keep our eyes focused. Focus on his word, on his living word, so that we will be able to discern and we will be able to tell which is for the Lord and which is not for the Lord. Am I on the Lord's side or am I on the enemy's side? Where am I standing? You know, we have, as I said, two groups. And I want to just make this quick mention here. There is a system in our world today, a religious system, who has been used by the enemy. You know, by the enemy of souls, to sow the seeds, to sow the tares, and to lead people astray. Now, this religious system worships its image and has the mark of the beast according to the Bible. The Bible tells us very clearly that they have the mark either in their forehead or in their hand. And it's very important, the right hand. Interesting. And as we look at the church today, the church, you know, Paul tells us the church, which is the wheat, he says, will have no spot nor wrinkle. And this is the church that's going to keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we see the two groups right here, right? Two groups. And these two groups are going to coexist until the time comes when Christ himself separates it. Notice he said he's going to send his angels to separate the wheat from the tares. Go to Matthew again, Matthew chapter 13. I want you to take verse 37. Matthew 13 verse 37. Let us take verse 37 through 43. And it says, he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ears, let him hear. And then verse 44 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and brought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, verse 48, they drew to shore and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. Here we see definitely, in the words of Jesus Christ, that there's going to be a separation. There is going to be a time when God himself will have his people identified and we will know exactly where we are standing at the end of time. Now, my question is, again, where are you standing? Where are you standing? Where am I standing? Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, because the fact is, Jesus is coming. And as he approaches, you know, we want to make sure that we are standing on solid ground and that we are ready for that great day. Because if we are not, if we are not become experts or earthquake experts, we can be shaken out. We can lose our grip and our stand on Jesus Christ, and then we will find ourselves maybe down there with the tears. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Go there with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we are going to read verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. This is what the word of God says. And if you find it, you will read along with me. And it says, "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved." So why are the people going to be part of the tears? Why? Why is it, you know, Paul is saying we are going to have some tears. What is the reason? Did you figure it out? They did not love the truth. So not loving the truth, not accepting the truth, will make you become a tear. Now, do you love the truth? I want to ask you again the question. Do you love the truth?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we love the truth. And we should love the truth. You know, the truth should not make any of us stumble or get offended. We should love the truth, even if it hurts. Now, go to 2 Timothy. Right there, just turn maybe a few pages. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, this is what it says, I'm reading in your hearing, "Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away." So it's a tear. It's one who just has the form of godliness, but the godliness is not really there. Okay? And this is one of the group of the people that are going to be existing on this earth before Jesus comes. And just as he comes, they are going to be there. Those who are loving his truth. Those who want and embrace this truth. And then you have those who pretend to love the truth, but they really don't love it. Because they don't obey the truth. You know, in the sifting time, everything that can be shaken, the spirit of prophecy tells us, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. You believe that? Everything that can be shaken. The Lord will not consider innocent those who know the truth but do not obey the truth because they just don't want to obey. God will not hold them to be guiltless, but he will hold them accountable. Who separate themselves from God and from his divine word and prefer to follow the teachings of men. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, and I'm going to take verse 20 and 21. Matthew 13, verse 20 and 21. I want to tell you, the church needs to be informed. And the church needs to understand what is happening in our world today and what is coming on this earth. Yes. Matthew chapter 13, and I'm taking verse 20 and 21. And it says, "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But what happened in verse 21? Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or what? Persecution arises because of Of what? Why is persecution and tribulation going to come? Because of the word. Immediately, what happened? He stumbles or he's offended. These are the things that Jesus wanted his disciples to understand, and he wanted the people to know that, you know, the world is going to be so mad and angry at those who are standing for the word that is going to bring on a persecution. All we need to do is to stand up for Jesus Christ and we are in trouble. You hear what I'm saying? That's all we need to do. That's all we need to do is say, I love the Lord and I'm going to obey the Lord, and you are going to be in trouble, brothers and sisters. And you are going to see this happen more often than ever as we come closer to the end of time. Look around our world and you'll see it for yourself. I see some young people in the back here. Wherever you are, at school, wherever you go, you stand up for the truth and you will see what I'm saying. Stand up for the Lord. Embrace His truth. Love His truth. Love the Word of God. And you will see how the world will get angry. The true Christians will receive the truth, and they will not only receive it, but they will feed their mind on it every day. And they are going to grow more and more in grace. More and more in the knowledge of the Word of God. They are not just going to sit with, you know, the first message that they got. And this is the reason why when we come to church on Sabbath, we study the Word, and then we go home and we continue studying our own. We continue to build our spiritual relationship with the Lord. And this happens every day. Every day as we grow in the Lord, we go building up our spiritual, you know, lives so that we can be able to withstand the time of trouble that is ahead of us. We have to be able to withstand. And we will be tested. Those who, you know, embrace the Word of God will be tested. The test is coming. You know, we are going to be pressured to accept the mark of the beast. And I want you to go with me to Revelation now, chapter 13. Revelation 13, we are going to be pressured, we are going to be tempted, we are going to have to stand up to what we know, and if we don't know, we will fall. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 17, Revelation 13, 16 through 17, and this is what the Word of God says, 16 through 17, He who causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. There's going to be a pressure. If you don't have the mark, whether in your foreheads or in your hands, you are not going to be able to have freedom. You are not going to be able to buy or sell. You are not going to be able to move around and do as you would like to, because you are not following what Babylon is saying that you need to do. You know, and Christians, and I come back to the word Christians. Christians are going to be out there going to church and worshiping the Lord even on Sabbath. Even on the Sabbath day. Coming to church faithfully. But because they did not embrace the truth, the temptation is going to come. And they will accept the mark. There are many who are going to accept the mark, calling themselves Christians. They are going to say, you know what? I can't abandon my job. I need my job, and I have to work. I have to maintain a family, and the Lord will have to understand me. The Lord will understand me. But I'm going to be faithful to the Lord, but I have to go to work on Sabbath. I have to do all what I have to do. And you know what? The Lord will understand me. They accept it because of their commitment. And so they have a mark in their hands. And there are going to be others who, it doesn't matter what you teach them in the Word of God. It doesn't matter what you tell them. They have made up their minds that they are going to receive the mark and they are going to go against the will of God. But still they are going to say, you know what? God is going to have to accept me as I am. This is not going to happen, brothers and sisters. They will receive the mark. They will receive the mark. And my question to you again this morning, are you ready for the shaking? Are you ready for the time of trouble that is ahead of us? Are you ready? Are you making yourself ready? Is it to follow laws established by men? It will be easy to follow if today we are following these laws when we are not pressured to do so. If today it's easy for you to just go against the will of God because of your commitment to your job or your commitment to anybody, then when the time of trouble comes, it will be so easy for you to just walk and follow the crowd because that's what you have been doing all this time. This is a time of testing. You are going to be mocked. You are going to be insulted. You are going to be threatened. You are going to be placed in prison, the Bible tells us, because of the truth that you embraced, the truth that you love. And so when this time starts, there is going to be a time of shaking, spiritual earthquake, and then you have to become an expert. Will you be able to endure the shaking? Will you be able to stand up? You know, Jesus told his disciples the following in the book of John chapter 16, John 16 verses 1 and 2. Go there with me. John 16 verses 1 and 2. The words of Jesus are precious. And it fits in right to our days. John 16, 1 and 2, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble." Listen what he says. "They will put you out of the synagogues." Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. They will kill you and think that they are doing the will of God. They are doing good. They will persecute God's people and they think that they are doing the right thing. Because they did not embrace the truth. They did not accept the truth. And so the devil has deceived them. And I want to tell you, they will bring many of God's people to a test. We are going to be tested. We are going to be tempted. Be prepared for the time when we will be punished, censured, persecuted for Christ's sake. They will speak all types of evil against you. You know, people will mock you. People will condemn you. People will say so many things about you. And they may be doing so today. But this is not anything compared to what is still ahead of us. You know, lying on us so that we may feel that God has abandoned us or that God is not with us. Had you ever felt that way? That, you know, God is not with me anymore. If God has been with me, why are all these things happening to me? It's going to be a temptation. Is God really leading his people? Is God leading this church? You know, if you read the spirit of prophecy, you will find that entire families are going to be lost at the end of time. Entire families. Because of the lack of preparation. Because of lack of prayer and Bible study. And it's so sad. And I just can imagine the heart of Jesus to see his children going to perdition and lost because they refuse to accept the truth. Refuse to accept the truth that is from the Lord. But entire families will be lost. Believe me. This is the time for us to really take our times and study the word of God and pray and ask the Lord, "Lord, give us wisdom. Speak to us as we open your word every single day of our lives and help us to come to that point of understanding that you want to save us." And that we can't save ourselves. There is nothing that I can do but just submit my will to your will. And follow the precepts. Follow the word of God. We should be prepared. And walk by faith and not by sight, the word of God tells us. You know, if you think on the children of Israel and their struggle and the fight they had with Moses, trying to save them, trying to lead them to the promised land. But these people were so stiff-necked, we will say today. But we find that the same is happening. The same thing is happening today. God's word is being preached. God is spreading this message of mercy and love. And that's the reason why I wanted us to sing that song. The love of God. Here we find the love of God. He's been merciful. But at the same time, he's warning the people and telling the people, hey, you need to get ready. You need to seek for safety. And you know, if you go out there and you try to preach these type of messages, it will be considered maybe as hate speech. How can you dare speak to us like that? We need to make ready for Jesus' soon coming. We need to become earthquake experts so that we don't lose our hope, our trust, and our grip in the Word of God and in Jesus Christ, our Savior. In the book of Acts chapter 20, I want you to go there with me. Acts chapter 20. And verse 30, Acts 20, verse 30. This is one of those temptations that maybe the hardest for us to believe or to even consider that could happen. Verse 30 says, also from among yourselves. Come on, church, can you read with me? Let's read it. Come on, read with me. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. This is one of those temptations that are going to get so common even among us as we approach to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I want to say this to you, church. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. One of these Sabbaths, it happens that someone stand before you and teach you or preach to you words that are not from the Word of God, but are contrary to his teachings. These are signs of the times. And the Word of God is saying that they are going to rise up from among us. Because that's the work of the enemy. Remember the seed? So the farmer went out there and he sowed wheat. And then came the enemy and he sowed what? Tears. It's going to happen again. If it happened in the past, it's going to happen again before Jesus comes. Satan will introduce his false doctrines to those who have no anchor, who are not standing on the Word of God, and you are going to listen to it, and you are going to say, oh, it's so good, I love it. But not understanding that it is false teaching. He is working so fast, and so, you know, wisely, because he's very wise. And he knows exactly where each and every one of us are standing. And so he knows how to approach us because he knows what we think. He knows where we are. And so he comes to you just where you are weak to tempt you. These will, you know, slide toward their convenience and comfort when they hear these type of messages. Satan's object is to disturb the trust of God's remnant people that they have deposited in their Creator God. His purpose is to get you discouraged and me discouraged in serving, and serving not only, but obeying the Word of God. That's the work of the enemy. If he can get you to just doubt 1 minute, just to doubt 1 minute that the God that we serve is not faithful, he will gain the victory over you. He will. You know, if we go to the Word of God daily and we pray and we fast and we ask the Lord, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me discernment. Lord, help that your word may become active in my life every single day, that I may not walk by sight, but by faith, that I may not just read the word, but I may make the word of God part of my life every day. The Lord will hear your prayer. And He will give you the strength when you are tempted, when you are shaken by this world. When you are shaken, you will be able to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to fall. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29, and we take verse 18. Proverbs 29, 18. Proverbs 29, 18, and it says, where there is no what? Revelation, what happened? The people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Where there is no revelation, where the word of God has been, you know, put aside, and the ideas and the teachings of men are embraced, then the Bible is very clear. The Bible is very clear, and we need to bear that in mind. It's going to happen. The people will be cast off. I want to be standing for Jesus Christ. You know, because when we are not paying attention to the Word of God, when we are not paying attention to the warnings and the straight testimonies that are found in the Word, in the spirit of prophecy, we are going to be sliding with the crowd, and we are going to be following those who are leading the crowd and leading the people to destruction. It's a time for us to think. A slight distrust in the vital points of our faith. Doubt of the scriptures. People today are doubting the scriptures. And, you know, even from among us, you hear people making comments like, well, men wrote the Bible, so what? You hear people will even say, you know what? You know, we are living in the New Testament teachings now. The old is gone. When you hear these things, if you are not standing on the Word of God, you will start listening and feeding your mind on these things, and little by little you start accepting the teachings that are coming from Babylon, and you will be deceived. Here those apostates, you know, will heed to their call. But those who are called by God, those who are the wheat, they will stand up. And they will embrace the truth, and they will live for the truth. Very soon, we will, you know, we will see the opposition more than ever before. The laws will cause all the weak in the faith to abandon their faith. The laws of the land that will come into effect pretty soon. They will cause all those who are, you know, not standing strong to start losing their grip on their faith in the Lord. And God's church, the wheat, will stand forever. That's what I can tell you. God's church is going to stand forever. We read it in Amos 9:9. God's church will stand forever. Not even one grain will fall. If we are standing on His word, this shaking, this spiritual earthquake, will blow away multitudes like dry leaves, you know, in the summer. It will happen, church. And it will appear as the church is about to fall, says the servant of God, but it will not. Do you believe that or not? Amen. Of course, this church is going to stand. It will stand while the storm is passing by. But the question that I ask myself every day, I know this church is going to stand. Am I going to stand with the church? Am I going to stand with the Lord? Am I going to stand with Him? It's a terrible trial, but it has to come to pass. It has to take place. Opposition will rise. We will see the fanatics, you know, from on one side and from one extreme to the other. False religion, religious intolerance will return to the center, and the spirit of persecution will ignite in our world today more than ever before. For example, I have the story of this young man who was born in October 14, 1993. Young man with young family. Hated. Hated by somebody who did not embrace the truth. And he was assassinated on September 10, 2025. How sad. We are going to see this increasing more and more as we come to the end of time. The true Christians will remain firm as a rock, with more conviction and hope than ever before, as we take the Word of God seriously, as we study His Word, as we pray as never before. And this is our time of mercy. This is the time of mercy that God has extended for us as a church and as a people. The Lord watches us with a tender love, and He wants us to be saved. His heart is moved when He sees us, you know, suffering on this earth. His heart is moved when He sees our children suffer. His heart is moved when He sees a father or a mother is suffering, and His hand is there extending, want to save that family, want to save that soul. But in the meantime, as He's extending His hand of mercy, believe me, the door is closing. It is closing. Little by little, that door is closing. And if we don't make Him our election sure, we will be taken away like the wheat and the tares. But we will be taken away like the tares and lost forever. Those who remain in darkness refuse to enter. And these places will soon be filled by those who accepted the truth, embraced the truth, and decided to follow Jesus all the way. I want to read the last verse for today, and it is found in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. We read it at the beginning. Revelation 3, 1 through 5. And this is a message even for us today. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. And verse 2 says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. God is speaking here from a heart of love. I know your heart, I know your mind, I know everything that is going on in your life. But there is something that you need to bear in mind. You need to hold on to those things that are still not dead. And then he says in verse 3, remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. A few who are still holding on and being faithful. And in the verse 5, he says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments and will not be blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Notice something here, brothers and sisters. We have to overcome. What are we going to overcome? What do we have to overcome in this world? Tell me. Our sins. We have to overcome our temptations. We have to overcome the trials, the tribulations that are coming upon the earth. We have to overcome. And you know, suddenly, we may hear from the doctors the news that are not good. They may tell you, hey, you have a terminal cancer. And you are tempted to doubt and ask, well, where is God? You are going to be tempted. You are going to be tempted, brothers and sisters, and you are going to be shaken. But you have to overcome, Jesus says. Also, we may have a husband who decides just to divorce his wife. And this may be a sad news for the whole family. You are shaken. And that's the moment when you have to put into practice all what you have learned and be able to stand up and say, you know what, I'm not going to be given up. I'm going to stand strong in the Lord. Here you become an expert in dealing with the shaken, Because that is where the shaking begins. Conflicts in the family. Let me tell you, Jesus himself tells us in his word that it's going to be right in the family. You're going to have a lot of conflict starting there. And that may be your shaking. That may be your time of testing. You know, someone in the family may die suddenly. God forbid. That can be your shaking. And you start wondering, what is happening? The devil is using all that he can use to create that doubt in your mind and to cause you to doubt and think that the God that we serve is not really with us. It is going to happen. You are accused falsely. You need to hold on to your God. You lost your job just suddenly. Remember, it's time of shaking. You need to hold on to the Lord. You are abandoned by your church or abandoned by your children, abandoned by your loved ones. You are being tested. You are being shaken. And it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning, church. You know, God is a God of mercy, and I thank him for all that he has done and that he's still doing for us today. Amen. But I want to praise him because in the first place, he is never going to abandon his faithful children. As long as we are holding on unto him. And I finish by saying this. The time of sifting and shaking is not something that we are going to get away from if we are going to live until the end of time. It's going to happen. We will face it, but the secret is we must become experts in overcoming this shaking time and this time of trouble that is ahead of us. Get ready. And as I said in my message, study the Word of God. Take the Word of God seriously. Seriously. Find time to study and let the Lord be your guide. Let him be the one to lead you, and you will become an overcomer. You will conquer the enemy. You will conquer temptations. You will overcome all the wiles of the enemy. And then when you see the signs of the time just fast fulfilling and the shaking begins like never before, you will be able to stand and say, you know what? The Word of God told me exactly what was going to happen. There's no way I'm going to lose my faith in God. There's no way I'm going to give up. There's no way I'm going to lose hope. May the Lord bless you and may he keep you. Lord, thank you for your word. And I pray that you grant us hope, you grant us courage, and help us, Lord, not to be distracted by the things that are taking place around us and the things that are going to be taking place in the near future. We are convinced that the Word of God is truth, and you tell us in your Word, you know, that your Word is truth. And this is what's going to take us through this time of trouble. As we stand on the Word of God and we permit the Holy Spirit to lead us from victory unto victory. Father, I pray now that you will guide us as we, you know, get ready to leave from this building and we go home, Lord, and we face our challenges for this week that is ahead of us. Help us to be overcomers. Help us to conquer the enemy. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, church. Until next year, we see you again. Amen.